Hello, good day, and compliments of the season to you. Wishing you a great and prosperous year 2022. I welcome you to another episode of The Insider. I am Kayode Sunny, and in this episode, I had a chat with veteran broadcast journalist Mr. Olasumade Akowo, assessing Nigeria's history, the debate on restructuring, and possible answers to the question of Nigeria's unity. Enjoy. Yes, it's good to have Mr. Olasumade Akowo in the building today. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Let me say good day to you.
Well, it's the new year.
Yes.
So, happy new year.
Happy new year. Yes. Thank you for joining on this episode. So, today we're looking at Nigeria's history and the controversy of restructuring and the issue surrounding our Nigeria's unity. So, in 2021, we had a whole lot to deal with as far as agitation and secession is concerned, the rise of Nnamdi Kanu and the federal government, the controversy of Sunday Igbowo's voice for secessionists, and his agitation for Fulani's leaving the Ibarapa land as a result of the killings and all that. But I was thinking it's better to look at it from the root, history of Nigeria. Looking at how far we've come in our independence, 61, we still have this issue of secession, agitation for Nigeria splitting up and our unity being questioned. What do you think this is happening at this time?
Well, Nigeria has never been united, whether now or then. Because even at independence, the clause had always been that some people wanted independence and some people didn't want it at that particular point in time. And, well, you can say the fault really was that of the people that didn't want the independence as of then. But because of what they were fed with by the colonialists who were running a kind of divide and rule system of government. Why did I say that? They encouraged the ruling class up north there to register their wards and children in the army en masse, while they discouraged such in the south, particularly the southwest, the Yoruba land. It's a common thing that even the man who was said to have brought Nigeria together in terms of amalgamation, that is Frederick Lord Lugard, he was always at loggerheads with the so-called people that he looked down on from Lagos. And when you talk of people from Lagos, you are talking of people that were liberated slaves who were educated, even better educated than Lord Lugard himself. So he had that natural irritation for them because they were always steps ahead of him when it comes to what is going on in the world. And because they were better educated than himself, so he hated them for it. I can say that. Then the policy of the British, which actually was not so much favorable to all and sundry. They put up a kind of country that was avassaled. How do I mean? They did census, which was not fair to the whole country. It's so confounding to everybody that people who live in the desert are said to be more populous than the people who live in fertile and forested area, like in the south. So it's something that is standing logic on its head. Then, when you come to it, by the time Nigeria was asking for independence, they were asking for it because they believed, especially the people from the south, that they could do it on their own because they have undergone certain trainings and they have lived up to certain expectations in terms of education. They have gone there, they have been abroad. Take, for instance, Obafemi Awolowo, Nnamdi Azikiwe. They were schooled abroad. Not that the people from the north, that we didn't have people from there that didn't school abroad, but what we are saying is that a whole lot of people from there had their belief and their conviction solely on religion, with the people who are exploiting. But it's quite different in the south here, because all they needed to do then up north was to go to the mosque and talk to an imam that may not even understand the nitty-gritty of what was being said, but just label the other party as infidels, people who do not believe in God. Then they saw them as enemies and not fellow Nigerians. I'm not exonerating the people from the South, but it was more common up north. Even till now, it's still common. So it's only now that the people are getting wiser and knowing what actually is to be understood by this idea of self-rule and governance.
You made mention of independence.
Yes.
Now, people have argued that Nigeria was not ripe for independence as at the time it got it. Do you think this is right?
I don't even believe in people telling me, saying all this thing about somebody being ripe for independence or not. If we had been left on our own, were we not ruling ourselves? Were we not living our lives? Meaning the blacks, our forefathers, were they not doing their own thing? When the British came here, they saw that there was a system of government and everything, nothing was perfect. Nobody, no system in the world is perfect. Even till now, the British had their monarchies and we also have ours. So, but they saw it that there was a settled community whereby there were various arms of government that you can actually point your fingers at. Take, for instance, the old system of Oyo. You have the monarch and you have the chiefs. The monarch was supposed to be the head and he was supposed to be somebody that could not be questioned. But that actually to me is fallacy because the Oyomesis could checkmate him at any point in time when he began to overstep his bounds. It happened on several occasions. And even though amongst the Oyomesis, when the Bashorun, who was supposed to be the head of the Oyomesis, began to overuse his influence, he was also checkmated. So there was always this check and balance in government. And why do we have all these, the presidency as against the legislature, against the judiciary? It is all because of check and balances. So we had it. But the British, or rather the white people, could not perform a black community or black people having things like this. So for some people to be sold the lie and for them to believe it, that Nigeria was not ripe for independence, as who was giving independence? Were we not created independently by God? So why must anybody now arrogate the power to himself or themselves that they are supposed to give independence to other people?
So now, can we say that the British coming to civilize us or to, should I say, rule over us?
That's a better word.
To rule civilize? Over us, can we say that it caused more problems for Nigeria?
It couldn't have, but because of their own selfish interests. Now, take for instance, as of the time Nigeria was asking for independence, actually it started from the south here, when Anthony Enahoro, under the aegis of Action Group, which was a party formed by Chief Obafemi Awolowo, asked for independence. They felt challenged. That was what I saw to it. They felt challenged. Now, think of it. As of the time the Western region was self-ruling itself, so to say, we had so many things that were even not achieved in some Western countries. Take, for instance, the Western Nigeria television broadcast, WMBC, MBS, whatever. The television station, it was a novel thing even in countries like France and Poland and several others. France didn't have a television station as of the time Western Nigeria had it.
So we can indeed say that British coming brought about some good.
Yeah, definitely. Anywhere you go, there is nothing that is perfect, like I've said. You always have this Chinese belief of yin yang. That is, when you have the positive, you have the negative. But they knew that if they let the Yorubas or the Southerners on their own and they let them have it just the way they wanted, then probably sometime they may even surpass them. So, and they didn't want that. They didn't want that. Even till now, they didn't want that. Till now, they didn't want that. They will always want a puppet government whereby they can always tell to go right when they are supposed to go left or when they are supposed to move forward, they'll say, stay where you are.
But I always wonder, or I've always wondered, that what if the British hadn't come? The British didn't come and we had to, everyone stood independently. Do you think that Africa, or should I say the Nigeria region, will have gotten this level of development?
Definitely. Absolutely, yes. Absolutely, yes. Now, take Africa as a whole. There was a king. I will recollect his full name, but Njoya. That's not his full name. I think Mohammed Njoya or something like that in Cameroon. Some people have always said that the white people came to teach us how to read and write. I've always said it's a lie, because Njoya developed his own alphabet and they had schools whereby children from his own locality were being taught how to read and write in their own language. It was when the Germans came that they destroyed it. In fact, he built his palace. It's still on record. It was a three-story building. As of then, he wasn't taught by the Germans or any European how to build storied buildings. He did it on his own, and it was right here in Africa. So also, when you go to somewhere like Zimbabwe, you have things that Africans have achieved on their own, all on their own, without anybody coming to teach them these things. They know.
To put the conversation in perspective, you made mention that Nigeria has never been united. So if Nigeria has never been united, how come we didn't see this, and how come nobody talked about
it,
salvaging the situation?
We saw it. We have always talked about the situation. We have always wanted to salvage the situation. But then you always have people that are benefiting from the chaos. And the people that are benefiting from the chaos had the support of, you know, underground support of these so-called white people. Take, for instance, during Nigeria's civil war, both sides were supported. Yes, because they were making money out of us. They supported Biafra, they supported Nigeria, and money was being made on both sides. It wasn't the interest of Nigerians that they had, but their own economic interest. The facts are there. It's only a pity that people today don't bother, one, to research into their own history and to read far and wide about it. They always rely, even don't rely on what I'm saying. Do your own research. Do your own research and come to your own conclusion. So all these things that we are talking about, they are there, but do we read? Do we try to know? We only rely on what they tell us, especially the religionists. Yes. They know that Africans believe so much in the unseen. Yes. And God is not seen by anybody. So they know our weakness. That was a book I read, written by Karen Blixen, a lady, one of the earliest colonialists in Kenya, who said that anytime you say once upon a time, and an African is nearby, he knows that you are about to tell a story, and he's full of attention, because we always like to hear stories. So they came around, Muslims, Christians, and they came with different stories. And we love stories. And they tell us stories. Imagine if somebody were to tell you that Ogun went on a pilgrimage from heart to heaven. And they said it happened to, in fact, it happened to a lot of so-called prophets, both in Islam and Christianity. But our people believe that. And we believe all these miracles. I'm not saying there is no miracle or that there are no prophets of God or all this. But what I'm saying is, these things have colors. There are colorations to it. Yes, because they don't see it from a black man's perspective. If it were to be a black man, they'll say that's a lie. Is that not true? They say that's a lie. But just give it another color and another name. Now we have different people coming to tell us all these things. May God help us.
Still looking about, still talking about Nigeria's unity now. Now that we've identified...
We have no unity.
Okay,
I've always said.
Okay, so after 61 years or over 60 years of independence, what do you think will need to be done? Or what do you think has to be done
to salvage
the situation?
We had the best of opportunity when Nigeria went to war. the Civil War. But we didn't learn anything from it. Although the head of state then, General Yakubu Gowon, made a speech. And part of it was that no victor, no vanquished. But that's just on the tip of the tongue. Because we know what actually happened. Some people were left behind the door. Yes, we are all together. We are one. We are this. We are that. But some people were never brought into the kitchen where the food was being cooked. And that is why the Igbos today are saying it's our turn. We must be president of this country. And that was what led to somebody like Nnamdi Kanu, trying to take power by force. That, look, if we are talking about this thing without it being listened to, we can go it our own way. So, sort of blackmail the country. Do you understand? And then, to make the matter worse, you now have some people who have it in their mind that the country actually belongs to them, that they are the overall lord and rulers. And that is why some people feel that they cannot be questioned, whatever they do. You have the likes of Miyeti Allah questioning sitting governors. Why must they make laws on certain things in order to protect lives and property of the people in their own jurisdiction? Miyeti Allah, that is just an association of cattle breeders. So, it's simply because they feel that they own the country and that nobody can call them to question. So, and that was what brought about people like Sunday Igbo, who felt that, look, what rubbish is this? So, if you think you are violent, everybody has this modicum of violence. So, we can all go all out and unleash violence on one another. But that will not make a country prosper or work.
Which, of course, now led to people now raise the issue of restructuring, which also brought about controversies.
Look, when we want to restructure, we are not yet there.
In fact, let me ask, what do you think about this restructuring? What is this restructuring that people are actually talking about?
Well, it's a pity that some people, before they get to power, they talk about restructuring. But after getting the power, they said, now, explain to me, what does restructuring stand for? Or what does it mean? But we are only deceiving ourselves. That's why I have said the country has never been united and we are only deceiving ourselves. We all know that this country needs to be restructured. Even, think of it.
But you said we are not there yet.
We are not there. I will tell you why.
Okay.
Recently, the Senate said there could not be equality of gender in this country. Yes, between man and woman. So what makes man superior to a woman? Is it because a man can marry 2, 3, 4 wives? What makes you superior and makes the other person inferior? No, think of it. So we are not there yet because we got our independence from Britain. Britain at the time was ruled by Margaret Thatcher, a woman that was even described as Iron Lady. Go to Israel, you have Golda Meir, a woman who ruled Israel successfully. But we have all men, all kinds of, a senator had the effrontery of bragging in the house that he had
3 wives.
Yes.
4 wives. And he brought them.
Yes. So what has that got to do with Nigeria and his legislative duties? So when you now talk of restructuring, how are we there yet? How are we there yet?
So when are we going to get there?
Look, listen. We're only going to get there, one, if we do away with this kind of mindset. And when I say we, the kind of people that had those kind of mindset. But tomorrow, if the table turns, if the man or the people who say there cannot be gender equality in this country, if it comes from them, we have had in the House of Rep, the speaker being a lady, Patricia Ete, had been a lady. Yes. So if a lady could be the speaker of the House of Representatives, what stops her from becoming the president of this country? And what is the balance or whatever, the measurement to now say she doesn't qualify to be an equal to a man? In today's world, a lot of things that are being done by men are equaled or even better done by ladies. My life, Am I lying? So, but when you have this mentality, which is born out of culture and religion, then we are not there yet. And Nigeria can never get there, be on our feet amongst committee of nations. Yes. Because when we think like this, we have defeated ourselves before we even start.
And going forward, I am a generation, you are a generation. But in this generation, I've seen precedent. But for this current one that we have in Nigeria, I don't think I've ever seen accusations of nepotism against him as loud as anyone, as any other president. Do you think that
this current president of Muhammadu Buhari,
has been
accused of being nepotic?
Yes. So do you think that's right? Do you think that's fair?
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's all a matter of just take an inventory of the way appointments were made. Yes.
Despite the Federal Character Commission.
What is Federal Character? Even within the Federal Character Commission itself, it doesn't work out. Where you have the chairman and the secretary coming from a particular section, which is a negation.
So what do you suggest for citizens of Nigeria to do to salvage their future as far as fairness, equity and justice is concerned?
First of all, let people get educated politically. Yes. We are not talking of tribe. We are not talking of political parties. We are talking of your right and your dream of making this country work. There was a time in this country when nobody was actually interested in who became the president or what, because everything was going well. Maybe because some people say ignorance is bliss. Maybe because the people then were ignorant. No. But because at least the kind of atrocities that are being committed today were not that pronounced as of then. But today, things are different. And more so, it's an internet age whereby nothing whatsoever is hidden. So you get it done, it gets exposed somewhere, somehow.
So for the guys that have said that Nigeria should separate, or for the ones that have said their region wishes to separate, do you think it's the right time to make that call?
Why can't we do it like they do in Switzerland?
Okay.
Switzerland is not ruled by any part, and it's ruled by all the parts. In your own part, you do your own thing. It's a bit, I don't want to give wrong statistics of how things are done there, but I do know that they don't speak one language.
In Switzerland?
Yes, they don't. And it's made up of different people. And they run different kinds of government. But it's a country. So, and they do it together.
So how were they able to achieve that? And seeing that we also are people of diversity.
That is something that our people do not want to understand. You are who you are. I am who I am. So have you heard of some people being called morning people? And some people being called evening people. Some people cannot function well in the morning time. They can't function well in the morning time. This is as a result of several research carried out into why some people function better at different parts of the day. That's why they call some people morning people. In the morning, some people, they can do a whole lot of things. But by the time the day is getting older, their productivity tends to
diminish.
Yes. Not in terms of age, just within the day. And some people, towards the afternoon or late evening, they are at par. So they are called morning people and evening people. So if that could happen to just an individual, that is why it could happen to a whole block of people in a country. Anyway, I don't know. As I am saying, we are not yet there because we are not serious about getting there. Yes, we are not serious about getting there. Nigerians are always proud of this country, especially when a Nigerian does something that is commendable anywhere in the world. Take Akin Olajuwon, take Aliyu Jelani, the one who did some designs for General Motors in America. It's not a matter of where you came from. Yes. Look, the best resource that anybody can have, any country in the world, is your mind. It's not what you have right there. When we had the people in the Niger Delta region, did they know they have petrol until some people came and found it for them, even mined it, refined it?
Which leads me to this next question before I ask my last question, because we have to round up shortly. Over this week, before the new year, there were controversies between former President Olusegun Obasanjo, PANDEF, at the Pan-African Niger Delta Development Forum, and other parties and
another ACF.
ACF about who gets to control oil in Nigeria.
Or which, whatever is in the ground.
Yes, which also brings about the question of federalism. How true is our federalism? So what should be the way out? What should be the standard for a democratic government?
It all boils down to the fact that we are still deceiving ourselves. A community that has certain mineral resources should be the one to own the thing. Then federal government will have its own cut out of it. Not that federal government will now say they have the lion's share of the thing. And so people have said, if tomorrow the table were to turn, certain things were being found maybe in the north and all those things, and such things have depleted in the south, whereby the shoe is now on the other leg, you will have so much being said about restructuring then that, look, you people have been calling for it. Now we are ready for it. Yes. Yes. Now, you see, why are we deceiving ourselves? Federal government has no business with certain things. We all know that defense, customs, and some of them like that are the business of the federal government. When you have a mineral resource in your community, if such a resource were to bring, for instance, COVID-19, will you not be the ones to actually face the brunt? I don't know if you get my gist.
I get.
Good. So what we are saying is that federal government will have its own percentage, but the thing belongs to the people first. So let them take priority over it, and let there be a sharing formula whereby federal government is not going to take the lion's share. It's going to take some percentage in terms of taxes. Yes.
So lastly now, people have been hurt as a result of the fact that they can't get justice because of harm being done to them by another person, all in the name of let us stay united, let us not divide the country and all that. What will be your message for those in that category?
There's an anecdote. One day in the sea, a certain school of fish, they went to see the shark. They said, we have come to plead for harmony, whereby we will all live together as one. But we know that you will need to eat, and we are your food. So, but instead of you coming on your own and wreaking havoc in our community, we have decided to give you certain parts of our body for you to eat, so that you won't be disturbing yourself again. And the shark said, yeah, that was a good decision. So right about now, I'm hungry. So what will be the thing for me? So they said, let us contribute some of our things for you to eat. They said, that's all right. So they pulled together some of their things and gave it to him. He ate it in one gulp. In the afternoon, the shark said, I am hungry. And the fishes, they came together again. What will we now pull together to give our chairman? At the end of the day, one of them said, look, until we learn how to make sure that we have certain things put in place as a form of defense and as a form of deterrent, we will always be food for shark. But that particular shark, that's why I'm using that articulate, for the shark. So, and when that shark heard of it, said, who said that?
Ooh, wow.
Because he knew. Let me tell this. Dictators are always afraid of someone who could think on his own. They want people to think as a block, bandwagon effect, whereby it is what is being said or what has been said that they will swallow, hook, line, and sinker. Now, until we are able to actually hit the nail on the head, that if really we want this country to work, first of all, it is not just by words of mouth that we are going to say we are our brother's keeper. We have to live up to it. I could remember a time when a certain crusader, he was German, Ryan Bonke, came to Nigeria. He landed in Lagos and people were being killed in Kano. Now, I am a Muslim. If anybody should come to me and preach and tell me, you have to accept this, you have to go this way, that way, there is no harm in his saying it. And there is no harm in my not going to where he has said I should come to or believe in what he is putting across to me. Is there any harm in that?
No.
So why should I now kill him? And why should he want to kill me? So, look, until we are able to actually forget about this hypocrisy, because it is hypocritical. When you know that the chips are down, then, and the truth is out, you are now preaching, being your brother's keeper. I have friends who are from the north, fantastic people. But then there are people there who are making others and do not want the hood over their eyes removed. So that's the problem.
Oh, well, that's a food for thought there. Thank you, Mr. Lasumi Adeokun, for joining me on today's episode of The Insider. I'm hoping that you will heed my call when I call you next time for another discussion on issues emerging in our nation. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Yes, sir. Thanks for joining in this week. I trust you had a good time. Please anticipate the next episode and please subscribe to my channel, The Insider. Till I come your way again, I say stay lifted.